You're listening to the Flip Houses Like a Girl podcast, where we educate, empower, and celebrate everyday women who are facing their fears, juggling family and business, embracing their awesomeness, and wholeheartedly chasing their dream of flipping houses. Each episode delivers honest-to-goodness tools, tips, and strategies you can implement today to get closer to your first or next successful house flip. Here's your spiky-haired, breakfast taco-loving host, house flipping coach, Debbie DeBeery.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us today. So in this episode, you will be meeting our flip sister, Stacy, in Minnesota. She's debriefing us on her first flip. And she and her husband have moved around a lot. They are a military family, so they moved around a lot, and then they planted roots recently. And she was ready to chase this dream she has of saving old houses, loving old houses back to life. So we're going to hear all about her first flip. She had some contractor challenges that she had to navigate. So we'll hear about those. And then how she found the deal, how she financed it, the things she learned about herself, and the lessons along the way. All right, so let's get into this. Here's Stacy.
All right, so if you're ready, we can just get started. If you want to share who you are and kind of what you're up to. Is this what you're doing full-time, or do you do other stuff?
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm Stacy. I live in Minnesota, just outside of the Twin Cities metro area. I actually grew up here, but I've been gone for a long time. We were military. We came back after my husband retired.
Did you move around a lot? Were you in a lot of different places?
We did. I've lived in Texas. I've lived in Arkansas. Both of those multiple times. The Air Force thinks that we should have lived there. And then we lived in DC for a while. And then other South Carolina and Georgia and kind of all over. But we moved home by family after 20 years on the road.
Wow.
That was great. And these days I'm running after, I have six kids. My husband just started a new job. So we're kind of figuring out that balance and I'm, you know, working on houses or working on my own personal house in between houses. Just staying busy in lots of different ways.
So what's the age range of your kids?
Our oldest is 15, and they go down to 18 months. So it's a party. Yeah, it's great. I love it. We are a big family. We're proud of it. It's wild. We're loud.
That's so fun. So, okay. You recently did your first flip with us. Had you done a flip previously as an investment?
Not as an investment. We being military, we would go to a place, we'd buy a house, we'd fix it up a little bit. My husband's like, you've been talking about this forever.
Yeah.
And I'm done moving you. Like, go do.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I was like, okay, I'm doing it. So yeah, I've had experience, but not, I mean, making money was kind of always a wash. I had to live in the home. So I had to like the finishes. You know what I mean? Like, you make different choices when it's for your own home and your own family, and you're going to live there for 3 years. And so I've worked on houses. I don't know if I've made a profit.
Yeah. Well, I think we should all be living in a house that we're also updating. Like, that's just such an obvious way to capitalize on more equity, right?
Absolutely.
So I'm a big fan of the live and flip. Okay. So you've done some live and flips. And how did you find us?
Podcast.
Yeah. Nice.
I had been Googling and searching and, you know, for a long time. And like I said, talking to other realtors and whatever. I'm a big podcast person. So I had been listening to real estate podcasts forever, like Real Estate Rockstars and I don't know. And then, of course, the other big one that everybody knows about. I listened to that one for a long time. And then I just kept searching, wasn't hitting fun of my things. I came across yours, decided to go.
Yeah. I love it. Okay. So let's talk about your first flip.
Yes.
I feel like all of a sudden you had a house and she flipped it in like 5 seconds and she's put it on the market and it sold in like 5 seconds. Like, I feel like everything was very fast. How did it feel on your end?
It felt the first part. Okay. The searching for the house felt so clunky, really. Like, I have utilized a few agents that would like search for houses. And then I would, you know, obviously connect with all the wholesalers in the area and did that thing. And I would just go view them to try to build those relationships. And I had done some off-market marketing, not super good at it. Need to work on that one. So I'd done all these things. I had put in a lot of offers with this one agent who I really liked. We kind of took a break. And my uncle also happens to be a realtor with a, like 40 years experience. He knows what he's doing. And he knew I was looking, but you know, he's a little more conservative in his approach. And so he called me one day and sent me to one place. And I was like, nope, that one's not going to work. And he sent me to this one. And I was like, ooh, this one's interesting. And it was off market, kind of. It was kind of an in-office thing. Like the lady was, she obviously didn't want to have a sign and she didn't have open houses and, you know, all the things. But maybe I think the realtor was a friend of hers. So that, anyhow, so she just sent it out to her office employee. Or whatever, however that works. And then uncle called me and he's like, hey, I got one. And it was like 5 minutes from my house. Because of my large family, proximity is super important to me.
Sure.
Especially when I was there multiple times a day, as I figured out during this process. So that's how I found it.
Okay.
And then, but no, it did not feel fast. And then once we get into it, it took us 2 months to close because she was very emotional and she hadn't found her house. And it was a really drawn out process.
Okay.
And so I didn't have a lot of access to the house before we closed because she was still living there and she was very emotional. And I got into the house one or two times. So it was really hard. I got there with a contractor once and an inspector.
Okay.
So that was a challenge because if I would have loved to have gone back and just like laid it all out and vision and had my whole vision. And no, I didn't. That was not a luxury I had. So on the day I closed, I drove there as fast as I could.
You closed July? Is that what you said? July 27th?
July 29th. And okay, then I did do it in 4 months. Like I listed July, October 20th. So I think I did it in 3.
Nice.
And then we closed only like 6 weeks later.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. What was the purchase price?
Purchase price was $247.
Okay.
That was not, the original list was $280.
Okay.
But it needed a new septic. I never dealt with septic in my life. Cause we've always lived, I mean, my parents had a septic, but I didn't deal with it. So I was like, sure. Yeah, that's great. I'll do it. No problem.
No biggie.
Whatever. I'll just call a guy. There's a guy for everything. So she got bids. I got bids and we negotiated the price of the septic off the purchase price as opposed to escrow or whatever. I don't know.
Like doing a credit back.
Should we just negotiate it? So she just really could just like wash her hands of it. Like she just needed to be done. And I wanted to do everything I could do to make it as easy as possible.
Right.
And she just didn't have to have one more person there poking and prodding and bugging her. So yeah, so I got it down to $247. The septic price was $30 and I asked for a 10% contingency. So we know what we did negotiate the price of that. And it was pretty much the full 30. Like it was.
So that came up, obviously that came up during like your inspection period.
Yeah, they had to, in Minnesota, you have to have a compliance inspection for your septic, even before you sell list, whatever. So I knew that even going into it, but that was before inspection even. I knew she had already disclosed that. So in the inspection, not a lot came up, you know, like a switch plate cover here and, you know, just the dumb. There was a potential for foundation issues, but I had to put people out and they're just like, it's fine.
Nice.
So thank you.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that was really the big thing was that the big thing that came up on that?
That was big, but I knew about that going in.
Yep. Okay.
The big things that were in and that I didn't know, she had smoked in the house for 40 years, which I knew, again, obviously can smell it from like 50 feet away.
Yeah.
But the smoke mitigation costs were a lot more than I had planned for.
Did you end up having to replace like all sheetrock or most sheetrock?
I didn't. Oh my gosh, it was awful. But okay, so the ceilings were popcorn. and we were taking down a soffit. So I was like, let's scrape all the ceilings because nobody wants popcorn. So we scraped because I knew I had to prime them and paint them anyhow. And I was like, well, why would I prime and paint popcorn? That sounds gross. So we scraped all the ceilings. I did not have it in my budget. So I shellacked the entire ceiling by myself with a hand. Like I have a paint sprayer, but it's like the craft kind, you know, like I always ask for tools for Christmas. So I had this like little gallon quart sized paint sprayer thing that you buy at Home Depot. Literally, I bought like the jumpsuit that made me look like I was going into like a hazmat suit. So I had the hazmat suit on, I had goggles, I had my face mask, and I like would go out at night after the kids went to bed and I would spray the ceilings to shellac them in. Then the guy came and textured, then we still oil primed the whole house, and then we painted. So the ceiling got two coats of primer. It was so bad. And then we cleaned all the ducts. And then I read somewhere that you're supposed to wash all the walls before you paint them.
Oh, yeah.
So I washed the walls, I bet, 3 times.
Uh-huh.
And you could just see the, like, nicotine oozing off the walls.
Yes.
Like, I had my kids doing that because I'm a really good mom. I was like, put this mask on, put these gloves on, and go clean that room.
Okay, so anything other than that come up that was a bit of a surprise?
See, the smoking, not super big surprise. I think the costs in general were just like, I had my contractor walk through, but we can talk about him later. That did not work out as intended.
So, okay, what was your initial renovation budget going into it?
For the house alone, not counting the septic. Yep. Has its own because it kind of washed out. My house was about 70 to 80. I think I had 75, something like that. That's what I thought I'd spent. All in, I was at 125 with the septic. So the house itself was probably closer to 95.
Okay.
So like 20 over.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Yeah. Did you say you did had all the renovations done in 3 months?
3 months.
Yep. Let's talk about your contractor.
Yeah.
What happened there?
So my first contractor. Okay. So I had planned to GC most of it. Like because of my house that work on this house and other houses, like I'm like, I got a few guys. I'm decent at managing people. I am want to pay the 10 to 25%.
Right.
So I was like, I can do the big stuff. Like I will hire out the big stuff. Like I want a guy to do like, it's kind of like the key contractor that you talk about a lot.
Yeah.
But I still had a flooring guy and I had a paint guy and I had a tile guy. I just really wanted the guy to fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
So I found this guy. So the contractor that helped me with my house was unavailable. So that was a bummer. So I had to go back out and search. And this is a big project. A lot of people were not super interested in the flip process because it's so quick. And I knew I would push hard. So I found a guy who was a handyman. Who had a GC license. I looked him up. I called all his references. I did all of the things. He signed the contract. Like, literally textbook. I was like, okay, there was just something in my gut that was like, he hadn't done a full flip. Like I called his references and this lady was like, oh, he helped us turn our grandma's house. We sold it. Basically we flipped my grandma's house. So I was like, okay, like clearly he's kind of seen the whole process. And he worked for like a local, apartment complex as a property manager. I'm like, he's seen most of the things, right? Fine. So I was like, okay, hire him day one. Day one, I knew.
Oh,
he showed up at 9 o'clock. Okay, now, I don't know. Most guys I've worked with show up at like 7.
Right.
7:30. maybe that's just, I'm an early resident. So I'd ask him, I'm like, what time do you start? He's like, between 8 and 9. I'm like, about 8. And he's like, maybe 9. And I was like, I'll see you there. So he shows up at 9, kind of like it sounds really bad, but like in shorts and a t-shirt and tennis shoes.
Uh-huh.
Like most guys show up in jeans, their hard steel toe boots, with a big trailer behind him with all their stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, he showed up in his pickup in shorts, t-shirt and tennis shoes. And I was like, it just didn't set right with me. And then that day he forgot two of his tools and had to go home. I was like, you're not billing me for that time that you're like going home, right? So anyhow, that proceeds for a couple of weeks. And then we had to, so I had, in the downstairs, there was like a shower that was more like a cave. Like the ceiling was lower. And then like the drain was like, you know, like, well, in Minnesota, we have basements, but like the basement drains for drainage, like they used that for the drain in the shower. So they like put the tile right into the cement to the big metal weird drain thing.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, well, this has got to go. We're just going to put in a surround. It's going to be great. And he's, so I was like, okay, take out the tile. So he takes out the walls and he takes out the tile and he leaves the floor and the curb. And I was like, okay, like all of it, we got to take out. And he's like, well, I don't know how to do that. It's concrete. And I was like, I don't know, like concrete tools.
Right.
This is why I hired you. It's in your contract that you would demo. And he was like, oh, well, I don't have a jackhammer. Like, I don't want to hit drain lines. I was like, okay, cool. And I'm like, okay, so I had already had the shower there, like in the garage or whatever. I'm like, can you can frame this in, right? He's like, I don't know how to do that to code. I'm like, I'm sorry, but I thought you were a GC. Like, if you passed a GC license, you should know how to frame a three-piece shower, a direct-to-stud shower in. I was like, and you can't bust my concrete? So the guy that worked at my house here, I called him in for a favor. I was like, I need your help. Like, I have this stuff here. I'm on a timeline. And so he is very sweet. And he came and my plumber and him know each other. So they came and they like busted the concrete and they put in the P-trap and they framed the shower in one day. And I was like, okay,
yeah,
we got to talk. So, and I am not confrontational. I am not, it makes me super nervous. I like practiced it 100 times in my head and then it goes nothing like you practice.
Yep.
And I didn't really fire him. I demoted him. I still wanted him on my team. He wasn't a bad guy. He just wasn't right for that part.
I totally get that.
So I said, hey, you know, I don't think this current situation is working out. But so, and now long story shorter, I had to find a new guy. The house is like demoed. And I'm like, I got to find somebody.
How many weeks in was this?
3 or 4.
Okay.
I mean, we are demo, ceilings out, like obviously my new shower's in, so that's pretty cool. But I was like, oh crap, what am I going to do? I mean, you go to bed and I would lay awake thinking, I'm never getting this house back together. I don't know. I have all this money in it. Like, what am I going to do? So back to Facebook, I go to our local bulletin board page. And I just made a list of people that other people had recommended that they had used. I'm very particular on how I look for referrals on Facebook. Not like, hey, I'm available. No, I want to know somebody who has used you and is willing to stick their neck out for you and say, I had a great experience with this person. Same.
Yep.
So I just made a list and I just started. And some I know I had called before and they told me no before. They told me no again. Fine. Whatever, I'm super persistent. And so I finally found this guy. I should say finally, like call three. I found a guy who was willing to come out. And so he comes out. And I had like double booked myself with two contractors to come out like kind of at the same time. I felt like I was cheating on them.
Yeah, right.
But I was like, I'm on time crunch too. And I felt like part of you feels bad because they're on time crunches and I can't always talk to two. Whatever, they worked it out. And so I was like, take a look around. Here's what I need you to do. Tell me what you think it's going to cost. The other guy basically was like, I don't have time for this. It's too big of a project for my current time. So I was like, I am like basically down to this guy. So sweet Jesus, I hope he can do it. So he came back with his number. I was like, okay, what am I going to do? Like, I can continue to wait while I hold the house.
Right.
Or we can just move forward. So I was like, let's do it. And so the good thing is he has personally done flips himself.
Nice.
His wife is a realtor. Mm-hmm. He has done flips. So, and a lot of times if his wife's house needs repairs before, you know, for the inspection period, like he'll do it. Licensed GC. I went and saw his references, like walked their houses, like asked them like 47 million questions.
Yeah.
So I was like, and he's a really nice guy, like super, direct maybe is a good way to say it, but that's okay. Sometimes I need that. Like I get really excited and I get really passionate and I just need somebody to be like, this is what's happening. Stop looking at Pinterest. So we were a good match in that way. So anyhow, I hired him and I was like, let's go.
He wrapped it up in 2 months.
Yeah. He actually has a full-time job. This is his like side hustle. So he comes nights and weekends. Which was actually worked out really well. So I'd like have my floor guy come in the day or my painter or my whatever guy. And he would come at night and do his thing. So I kind of had people, which kind of worked out because I had people there working all the time. Like literally some days I would have like 7 people there. And I'm like, so I think that's part of the reason I got it done so fast was I had him working when nobody else was.
One thing that I forgot to ask is, so you bought it for $247. How did you finance this?
I was fortunate to have private funds for the majority of it. And then I used HELOC for the rest of it. I pulled a little money out of our personal finances just for like the down payment.
That was a whole lot. That was such a huge lesson that you had with the contractor, having the right people in the right role. Yeah. It's just like, you know, we think, well, we know what to expect here. And at least we know to expect they're not going to show up or they're going to show up eventually or, you know, whatever, versus finding somebody new. And what if it all happens again? It's like, no, find somebody new. Stop sitting in all that stuff. We let things pile on, right, until we reach that point where we're like, cannot take it anymore. If we would just like, you know, nip that in the bud sooner, instead of getting into that place of can't deal with this anymore. You totally did that. Kudos to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's funny because it didn't feel like that at the time. I mean, I would literally lay awake at night thinking, I have this private money person. Like, it's not a business. It's a person I know. Like, I'm playing with nothing, but I'm holding their money and I have to see them and look them in the eye again. And my family, I am like balancing my personal residence on this.
Yes.
And I got a guy that I'm not in love with.
Yeah.
Like, and my husband's really good at perspective. He's like, you got to go fight for your family. What does your family need? Like, you can't be nice. You have to be nice to your family, which is hard for, like, I'm like, oh, I want everybody to be nice and be friends. And like, I can't, like, my family is that's why I'm doing this. That's my why is my family. So not your family. Like, I empathize with your family and your needs, but my family's first. So, and the people that I'm going to owe money to, like, that's terrifying. Like, people trusted me. And so I don't take that lightly.
Yeah.
So I was like, sorry. I just demoted him.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Actually, it's funny. I saw him not that long ago because I had to go. I'll get all my lien waivers signed, which was another lesson learned. And I went and punched him down another job and got the lien waiver signed. And I was just chatting with him, like, how's it going? How's your family? And blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, I'm like a month and a half behind on this project for this property management. All he was doing was replacing like the ledger board under the doors because they had rotted or something. And he's like, oh, my family stuff has happened. And I'm like super far behind. And I was just like, whew, I am so confident that I made the right decision to say, this isn't working. And I am changing direction. It was really hard at the time. Like I said, I'm just not good at confrontation. Many of us are not.
Right.
Nobody likes it. So I was just like, oh, I did it. I made the right decision. And it was just validated.
Yes. Dodged a bullet. I mean, really?
Dodged a bullet.
Okay. So, all right. $247, you bought it for $125,000. You put into it 3 months of renovation time, and then you list it. And how did that feel for you? Was it a relief to put it on the market? How was that? What was that feeling like?
It was great. I mean, I loved it. Like, it was terrifying, right? Like, you've talked about before, like, do people like my finishes? But I got a really positive response. People really liked it. I knew I had worked hard. I knew my family had worked hard. My realtor made these like giant postcard things. I don't know, 8.5 by 6 or whatever. And sent them to, I don't know, around. And so we got one in the mail. It said like, welcome home. And then it, you know, showed the pictures of the house and stuff. And so I hung it on the fridge because I was like, look, this is my homework. And I'm hanging it on the fridge. But it was really fun for my kids to see that because, like, obviously they've been there and they've worked and my son like pulled weeds and shoveled gravel. But for them to see the finished project and then it went out in the mail, I don't know. They thought that was pretty cool. They're like, oh, remember when it looked like this? Remember? And I was like, oh yeah, I remember.
That is super cool. Okay. So what was the market response when you first listed it?
It was great. We had a ton of showings. I bet we had a total of 15.
Did you say you put it on the market at the end of October?
Yeah, October 20th, which up in here in Minnesota, we have this thing called MEA weekend. It's a 3-day, 4-day weekend for teacher workshops. But historically, that's when everybody goes out of town. It's like free travel weekend, like fall break. And I was like, I don't want to hold another week because
right,
I just got to go. So we listed at MEA and then like the next weekend was like Halloween. And then like, it was not a great time, but I was like, I don't want to wait. So let's just do this. Ideally I would have liked it on a week or two earlier, but whatever. So yeah, so we listed, we got a ton of great feedback. So the best part was, my realtor was like, you know, we've had a lot of people go through, we had actually 5 or 6 offers, but he's like, the response has been so great. Your quality was great. I mean, people know it's a flip. They can all look back. People aren't stupid. They're like, even some of the agents were like, I'm usually leery of flips. This did not look like a flip. Like you could tell there was quality materials. It was quality work. I employed mostly people from, I don't know, a 10-mile radius, like because I knew most of them, from previous. So like I knew my guys and I knew they were good and they would do good work and they would treat me right. And they would treat the next person. If there was a problem, I know these guys would go and back up their work. So that was really important to me, like for my brand, for me to sleep at night. I mean, maybe, I don't know, it's a hard balance because I know maybe other flippers can do it for less money and I'm not skilled enough to maybe negotiate those prices down as far, but the quality and the workmanship was so important to me.
Absolutely.
So that was really great feedback. And I was like, great. My first one that hit the market and local agents went and saw it and they know, okay, this person does quality work.
Right.
And if I'm going to stay in this area, because like I said, proximity is important, I want the next house to be the same quality. So that was really great. And everybody said the finishes were beautiful. We had some freeway noise. I knew that was going to be a common concern. So we had some of that comment. We had the other comments we got were like, it's kind of a unique floor plan. You walk in kind of downstairs into a family room and then you go upstairs for the kitchen. And it's so not everybody would love that. And I knew that. And that's okay.
Wasn't it on a few acres?
It was on 5.2 acres.
Is that common there?
It's not uncommon. I mean, we live right on the edge of like rural and city. We are about as far out to still call ourselves the Minneapolis Metro as you can be. Like some of the stagers were like, we don't go that far out. And I'm like, okay, it's not that far. So I got that a few times. Like, we don't go that far. So we're right on the cusp. So it's not uncommon, but 5 acres is great. I mean,
yeah, that's so cool.
So I knew it was the right person was going to come. I was going to love it. And there's a huge pole barn so people could run a business or work on trucks or whatever they do. So, I knew for the right person, it was going to be great.
Yeah. And there were what, 5 or 6 right people?
5 or 6. 3 were actually really bad. They were like super below, like 60,000 low. And I was like, you're cute. They just wanted to see what they could get away with. And I'm like, I'm not desperate. Like it's no. And then I got an FHA offer, which was great, except we hadn't hit the 90 days yet. So I learned about that. I mean, I was like, it's so funny. I was like, huh. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's a lesson about this. Oh my gosh, what did they say? And I had to like, go back to the modules. And I was like, oh, shoot. So, but it was like 4 days off. So, but we couldn't sign. And we're like, so basically we were like, well, can you just on Friday reoffer? And it never came back, which is weird. They came in 10,000 over. And then, but then asked for 10,000 in concessions, basically as a wash, which was fine. And then didn't come back on the Friday, on the day that they could like, and it was like 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. That's really strange.
But then I was like, you know what? It's probably fine because maybe they wouldn't have performed and they wouldn't have closed and I didn't need that in the drama. So And then this offer came in at full price. So we took it and they got a cash offer, which was great because they didn't need, you know, the appraisals and they didn't need inspections. It expedited their closing, which expedited our closing.
What was your profit?
About $22,500.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it wasn't the original number, but I paid everybody back and I made a profit.
There you go.
And I was really happy. So I heard this one thing on maybe it was you guys, I don't know, but they're like, your first one needs to be a base hit.
It needs to just be something where you want to do it again. Mm-hmm. And that looks different to everybody, right? Yeah. Like what that means to you is different than what it means to the next person. Most people are like, I'm super okay if I like don't lose money on this, which I, right? So you made a profit. You made $22,500 in like 4 months. Not going to turn that down.
Not. And so proud of my work. I did put in a lot of time. So my husband and I have had this conversation about he's an airline pilot and gone a lot.
Okay.
And so we would love for him to scale back and be home more.
Yes.
So how do we build this business to a point where he can be home more and I can not be at the house every single day? You know what I mean? Like,
yep. I totally get that. I was definitely way more like hands-on and present at the beginning. And I was like, this feels jobby to me. This isn't my vision. And it's each project, obviously each project is different, but kind of like your role will kind of just continue to shift. I think as you get more comfortable with the process, as you get more comfortable with your team, it will continue to evolve. It's what I love about it because it's not rigid. It's not this rigid thing that always looks the same and your role is always the same. It's a lot of trial and error and what works for me and what works for my family. And those answers change. What worked for you on this first flip was you being more present. Maybe that's not going to work for you on the next one, right? Maybe you're going to dial that back some, and that's okay. It really can be what you want it to be, really.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Cause I think that's what the direction I'd like to go is, like, it was very jobby. I was there every day working my duty off, which I knew would happen, right? Like I was, like I said, really clunky with the process and just really want to make sure it went well. And so I was there, I was pushing, or just chatting and building relationships too. Like,
yeah,
I'd go there and see my guys and whatever. But in the future, that's not sustainable for us.
Yes.
So I have to decide which parts I really enjoy.
Yes.
Which parts I can take a step back.
Yep.
And just let them do their thing.
Yep.
But I heard something like put aces in their places. I just love that saying, like, mm-hmm. get the people where they need to be and mm-hmm. let me focus on what I'm good at.
And enjoy,
and it works for us. And like I said, that's different for everyone.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We talked about some of your lessons learned. Were there any other lessons learned on this that you wanted to share?
Lessons learned. Well, the big couple actually. So I did post this in my group, about my water test. Mm-hmm. This was fun. So it's Thanksgiving week. And we got the well was new, like 2 years old in the house. I was like, the only thing that was like, had been updated in 40 years. I was like, don't even have to touch the well. Like I win. So, whatever, I go to have my water tested because that's what you have to do. And I get my water test back like 2 days before Thanksgiving and it failed.
Oh yeah. That's right.
And I was like, I just don't know what to do. Like I froze. So I called my daughter and I was like, oh my gosh. She's like, yeah, that's not good news. I'm like, he is super calm and collected. And I was like, if you're saying this is not good news, my blood pressure. I was like, what? So I was like, okay, I'm diving in. What do I got to do? He's like, you got to shock and bleach the well. I'm like, mm-hmm. Do that thing. So I ended up calling the well driller. Like, I was like, you put this well in like literally 1 year ago. What do you have any like liability? Like, what does this mean? Can you come back? Can you fix it? He's like, there'll be like $500 for us to come and bleach it today. I'm like, bleach is like 12 cents. He's like, it's time, it's travel. I was like, what do I got to do? So he was like, he like walked me through. He's like, gotta go to Walmart or Home Depot. You gotta get the CPB PVC pipe and you gotta get it this many feet and you gotta mark it off. And then you gotta get a funnel and you gotta pour the bleach down. And then you get like this whole process. And I was like freaking, he could hear me probably just like breathing up. And then he's like, you can do this. I know you can do this. Yes, I can. So I went to Walmart and I bought my bleach and I bought all my supplies and I put bleach in the well. And then you have to like run it through all the lines in the house. And then you have to let it sit. So it sat overnight. And then Thanksgiving Day, I had to go back over and flush it out. So I just turned on the water and let it like drain for hours outside.
Yeah.
And then I convinced this guy at the water test company to come back on Friday because we were supposed to close like Monday or Tuesday. Oh, like geez. We were like up against the line. And I was like, you got to come back and test this. He's like, we don't work. It's, you know, Thanksgiving. We don't work on Friday. And I was like, he's like, well, I did have to go to the office. I'll do one thing. I can swing by. And I'm like, thank you. So he swung by, tested my water. It tested fine. I think it was just because it had been stagnant.
Yes.
For a while. So we bleached everything. It was fine. But
it was a few days of freaking out.
It was, and so my lesson learned was A, don't ever assume that even the stuff that is untouched is fine, because it's probably not. And B, I will always bleach a well. Figure it out. I will bleach the well about a month before I need it tested. And apparently that's something you have to do. It's like normal annual maintenance anyhow. So who knows the last time? I don't know. So that is what I learned.
Yeah.
And my other lesson learned is I got lazy on lien waivers. And I did not get them all signed in time. Okay. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. So my closing company knows me because my family's bought with them. I have personally bought my own home, but the buyer's closing company doesn't know me from anybody and thinks you're just a crazy flipper.
Right.
And who knows if you paid these guys off.
Right. Right.
So I ran around like a madwoman again, Thanksgiving weekend into while this whole well thing is going on, I'm running around Timbuktu finding every one of my guys. And they're all paid. They're all going to sign. I know this.
Right.
But that's not that. This is my problem and I have to deal with it. So I went around and like a crazy woman and got all my lien waivers signed and sent them all to the closing company and they were happy. And we closed and the buyers didn't know any of this drama was going on in the background.
Oh my gosh.
So that was my lesson learned. Don't forget your lien waivers.
Yes. Because
I just thought it was like a cover my butt kind of thing. For like someday in the future, I didn't realize the closing company was going to be like, we need to know that you paid these people off and somebody's not going to come put a lien on your house.
Right. Because it is as simple as that. It is as simple as a contractor going to the city and being like, this person didn't pay me and they owe me this much money. And it's as simple as that. And bam, you get a lien slapped on. Mechanics lien. It's that simple. They don't have to prove anything. They can just say.
I always thought they did. I thought we had to sign like some like pre-lien notice.
No.
I don't know. Doesn't matter. The company wanted it. This girl's producing because we are not stopping this closing. But it worked out. But it was a big lesson learned. Like lien waivers and getting better numbers in the beginning.
Yep. And well bleaching.
And well bleaching. Mm-hmm. In case anybody else out there buys rural property.
Yep. So. Those are three great lessons that you shared.
Thanks.
Awesome. I love it. Congrats. Congrats on your first loop.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your story. Thanks for sharing your
Thank you for all of your support and the group and the work. Like it's fun to watch other people succeed. It's fun to post, but it's fun. It's really fun to see everybody else's milestone as well.
Well, we look forward to hearing about your next one in the group post when you get one.
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah.
I edit this stuff, but I really just want to make sure like, or say that like my family was super supportive and I'm very blessed because not everybody has that same luxury. My husband was super supportive. My kids were most of the time supportive, except when I made him go out on a Saturday and pull weeds or whatever. But even my extended family, my parents, everybody, sisters, aunts and uncles, like I actually ended up having, this was fun. This is a recommendation. I had a private open house for friends, families, and neighbors. And it was really fun. So my friends and family that had like been cheering me on the whole time. And then neighbors who were just curious because I think it was sis who recommended, as opposed to a sign in your yard, go meet all the neighbors. So I did. I met all the neighbors and I gave my card and I was like, let me know if somebody's being rowdy or the house burns down. Wait 10 minutes, then call. So I did. I met all the neighbors and then I ended up posting it on Facebook locally. And I just said, hey, the school house is available. And I just want to say thank you to all the local contractors that helped me do this product. And then, so a couple of people contacted me that way. We're like, oh, we live around the corner. We walk by every day. We'd love to know if you ever open it up. So I invited all my contractors. I invited all the neighbors because a lot of the contractors want to see it at the end and they want to show their spouses. And not a lot of them came, but a couple of them did. And I thought that was really sweet. And then some family came and I had cookies. And it was really an opportunity for me to thank the people that supported me on my journey. So that was really fun. And then I got really actually feedback on it. I was talking to this other house I was making an offer on. I called our city because it's in my town to ask about what permits had been pulled. And I know the girl in the office. And she's like, oh, did you know so-and-so works for our city? He was the neighbor to the house you just flipped. And he said, it was so sweet that you invited them over and had cookies because they wanted to see the house when it was all done. So that was really, that was fun. And then, like I said, just like the support of my family. And
yeah,
I was really grateful because that was instrumental really as well. Yeah. It's nice to know you have these little cheerleaders back here.
Oh, for sure.
Because you have enough of your own negativity and your own like freak out moments and your own like, I have somebody else's money tied up in my own personal finances. Like you have so much of that happening. It's just nice to have some cheerleaders too.
Absolutely. Find your cheerleaders. Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that.
So that was, I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, that will definitely get in there. That's good stuff. Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Stacy. All right. I'll see you in the group.
Thank you. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. I love her message to find your cheerleaders. Like in anything you're doing, find your cheerleaders, find your community, find your people. Anything new that we're chasing is scary and overwhelming and intimidating. But guess what? It's so much better when you have a community of people around you on the same journey, doing the things that are scary and encouraging you. We do just that. Our Flip Sisters community fills that role in the most amazing way. So not only do we teach you the A to Z's, 1, 2, 3's, every single step you need to take to buy, renovate, and sell or rent houses in any kind of market. Yes, we do that. We also coach you every day and we support you every day. And we have this amazing community there with you every single day. You're never alone. You're never stuck. You can't stay stuck when you have a community there to support you, as long as you ask for help. All right. So here's the thing. If you want our help, raise your hand. Okay. Go to herfirstflip.com, fill out an application, book a call, and let's see if we're a fit. All right. Okay. Until next time, go out there, flip houses like a girl, leave people in places better than you find them, and make it a great day. Bye, y'all.